This monument is very recognizable to all of us. I just want to remind you of some of the history behind the Statue of Liberty. She stands on Liberty Island in New York Harbor, outside of New York City. She was a gift. This copper statue was a gift from France, built by the same one who built the Eiffel Tower, Gustav Eiffel. The statue was dedicated way back in October 28, 1886. A robed woman representing the Roman liberty goddess, Libertas. She holds a torch above her head with her right hand, and her left hand is a tablet with Roman numerals inscribed. Roman numerals stand for July 4th, 1776. There's a broken chain that lies at her feet, a symbol of liberty. The statue became an icon of freedom and of the U.S. and was a welcoming sight to thousands of immigrants arriving from abroad. There was a French law professor and politician who proposed that the French finance the building of this statue, and also proposed that the United States finance and build the pedestal upon which she stands. Fundraising proved difficult in those days in the late 1800s. And finally, Joseph Pulitzer, for whom the Pulitzer Prize is named, did a fundraising effort, had some 120,000 people donate to the effort, some of which, or most of which, only pledged a dollar. But he was able to complete the fundraising efforts for the pedestal and the building of it. I want to go back into the fundraising. One of the efforts that was proposed, a committee organized a large number of money-raising events, including an auction of art and manuscripts. A poet by the name of Emma Lazarus was asked to donate an original work for this effort. At first, she refused. She just couldn't write a poem, she said, about a statue. But she was involved in aiding refugees to New York who had fled some anti-Jewish persecutions in Eastern Europe. And so, out of empathy for these refugees, she agreed to write a poem. The poem is entitled The New Colossus. It's inscribed on a plaque in the museum in its base. And when I read these words, there's a melody going through my head written by Irving Berlin, who set these words to music. This is part of that new Colossus. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And I think about in that day and those refugees coming in by the boatloads and seeing the Statue of Liberty and finding new hope in this country, and along with the willingness to help build it to what it has become through the years. These words and this monument provide a wonderful invitation. But I said all that to say this: it's not the greatest invitation. The greatest invitation ever given is from Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Very familiar words, very beloved words. But I want to focus on them with you a few minutes tonight to consider the greatest invitation ever offered. Number one, this invitation is from Jesus himself. Jesus, God in the flesh, the one who was in the beginning with God and who is God. the one by whom all things were created, the one who is before all things and in whom all things hold together, the one who died for our sins and rose from the grave and sits at the right hand of God, the one who promises to be with us always, even to the end of the age, the one who has promised to prepare a place for his people and will receive us to himself. This promise, this invitation is not given by a local business, a good friend, or even the President of the United States. This is from Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the sin forgiver, the burden bearer, the death defeater, the miracle worker, the man of sorrows acquainted with grief, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the victorious Lord, the lover of our souls. And I remind us of that because we find comfort in this great invitation. We find great rest in it when we recognize the one who extended this offer of rest. And it's from Jesus himself. His words express the desire and the compassionate heart and his appeal for people to come to him as a relief from their oppression. It's a call to turn from whatever they are presently depending on. It's a call to depend on him. This invitation is from Jesus. This invitation is to you and me and to all. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All points to the universal significance of this offer. It's made to all people. And it's specifically to all who are weary and are heavy laden. Heavy laden comes from a word which means to place a burden upon, to load, as when placing a load upon the back of an ox. That would be one way that it was used in Jesus' day. And I think that fits the imagery that Jesus is using by his words. Heavy laden, weighed down with burdens, weary to labor, toil, expend great effort in hard and disagreeable work, to grow weary, tired, labor to the point of exhaustion. Come to me, all you who labor, all who are weary and heavy laden. And that is to all. It includes all who are burdened by sin. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He bore that, the burden of our sin on the cross, by taking upon himself our sins. He bore that burden so that we don't have to if we'll just allow him to bear that burden for us. To those burdened by sin, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. To those burdened by grief, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Those burdened by grief, those burdened by having to say goodbye to a loved one, those burdened with that heaviness and that distraction and just the missing that loved one dearly. Jesus doesn't say how in this passage, and he doesn't say when, but his promise is, come to me and I will give you rest. To those who are burdened by troubles, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. It may be sickness, some lingering sickness that takes all your energy to battle, a sickness that just won't go away. It may come from taking care of a loved one who is sick. Let's never forget the caregivers and the troubles that they have. It may be depression that has driven you into some deep, dark pit where you feel alone and see no way to get to the light again. It may be a relationship disaster that's left you hurt or broken or angry or bitter. It may just simply be a tough string of circumstances that put a heavy weight on you and that you feel like you can hardly breathe. Jesus says to those who are burdened by troubles, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think it's important to also recognize that Jesus is also speaking to those burdened by the unrealistic expectations of others. And I say that because Jesus spoke to a lot of people who were dealing with that problem. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus talks about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says, the scribes and the Pharisees, Matthew 23 verse 2, sit in Moses' seat. They're sitting in his seat, meaning that they're assuming that they have the same authority as Moses. And they were putting the things that they had attached to the law of Moses as being a thus saith the Lord. All of the demands and the tedious demands, they were adding to the weight of that law. And they were binding, Jesus says, heavy burdens, hard to bear, and laying them on men's shoulders. And that included their detailed and overbearing interpretations of the law that served as a yoke for others to bear. Those were the scribes and the Pharisees who were causing that oppression for people in Jesus' day. It continued even in the early days of the church. There were these Judaizing teachers that were teaching that, yes, you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to be saved, but you must also keep the law of Moses. And that caused a big debate in the early church. Acts 15 is an example of that. And when those matters were being debated in Acts chapter 15, the apostle Peter spoke up and listened to his words. Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. And they is reference to those Gentiles who have become Christians. Those Gentiles that these Judaizers are saying, they need to keep the law of Moses too. He's saying, don't put that yoke upon them that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. But even today, some are burdened by the unrealistic expectations of others. To those, Jesus also says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus' invitation is for you, for all who find life a grind, for all who feel, as Frederick Dale Bruner has written, that the juice has gone out of life and all that's left is the rind. No weariness is too deep. No burden is too heavy. Jesus, the great burden bearer, says, come to me and I will give you rest. It's an invitation that Jesus has initiated. He doesn't wait for us to ask if we can come. We don't knock on his door, if you will. He's knocking on ours. He's issuing this invitation. He loves us so much that he makes the first step. He doesn't leave us wondering if we'd be welcome. He doesn't leave us doubting whether he means only a few can respond and no one else. He doesn't wait for us to ask for help because he knows that most of us have trouble asking for help. But he asks anyway. He offers help even before we ask. His invitation is for you. He initiates it. Fourthly, it is an invitation to rest. And the word rest there is something that we would assume that Jesus intended. It means to refresh, to rest up. And it also means to cease from labor. This is what Jesus is offering to the weary, to the heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you a period of refreshing. I will cause you to be able to cease from your labor. The word take my yoke, the word take means to take up and lift. And it's used here to take on oneself what has been lifted in order to carry it. And this is where we get a little puzzled here. He's talking about giving us rest, but at the same time, he's telling us in order to experience that rest, we must take his yoke upon us and learn from him. That word learn is the same word from which we get the word disciple, a student, a follower. And it means to learn by inquiry, but also by use and practice. It means to learn to appropriate oneself through instruction, but also through experience or practice. Jesus is saying we must continue to learn from Him in order to experience this rest. But notice He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what's a yoke? You probably already know. But a yoke is what they would put on those oxen. They're being used to plow the fields. This yoke, this heavy wooden bar that would be placed on their necks with these wooden things that would keep it attached to their necks. And that yoke is what they would push against in order to pull that plow or that cart or whatever that heavy burden was that someone needed moved. It was that wooden instrument that yoked two oxen together and made them a team. Take my yoke upon you. Wait a second. Doesn't that sound like work? Doesn't that sound hard, not easy, heavy, and not light? But notice what Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek or gentle and lowly in heart. He's contrasting himself with the previous masters. The previous masters whose yoke was upon them, they were haughty, they were proud, they were dominating. He says, my yoke is easy. Interestingly, that term means useful, manageable, serviceable. It fills a need. It is well-fitting. Jesus may just be saying, my yoke fits well. The light that I give you is not a burden to destroy you. It's made to fit you, your needs, your abilities, and what I want you to do in this life. It's heavy enough that you must let me carry it with you. It's easy and it's light. Light in weight, agile, not burdensome or overbearing. It's a great contrast with what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden. You're weighed down with that burden. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. It is light. So what does it mean to take Christ's yoke? It means to submit to his person. We put ourselves under his leading. We join ourselves with him. But here's the difference. He is the yoke mate, and this is how he can give you rest. I read this description. A Bible teacher saw this and said it helped him have insight into Jesus' words. Let me read to you how he reflected upon it. He said, there was an old farmer plowing with a team of oxen. As I saw this team, I was somewhat amazed, for one was a huge ox, and the other, a very small bullock. That ox towered over the little bullock that was sharing the work with him. I was amazed and perplexed to see a farmer trying to plow with two such unequal animals in the yoke, and commented on the inequality to the man with whom I was riding. The man stopped his car and said, I want you to notice something. You see the way those traces are hooked to the yoke? You will observe that the large ox is pulling all the weight. That little bullock is being broken into the yoke, but he's not actually pulling any weight. This teacher says, my mind instinctively came to this passage of Scripture where our Lord said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the normal yoking, the load is equally distributed between the two that are yoked together. But when we are yoked with Jesus Christ, He bears the load. And we who are yoked to Him share in the joy and the accomplishment of the labor, but without the burden of the yoke. Jesus is calling us to serve Him. But we work and serve in the strength which He gives us. He's always there beside us, pulling the weight for us, if we will only yield our lives to Him. The only time the load becomes overbearing is when we try to take it over and do the pulling or handle the load ourselves. My yoke is easy, Jesus says. My burden is light. I won't be able to remember the man's name. He was a preacher. I saw this in a sermon illustration file, and I loved it. He said his wife was very sick and was confined to the bed. She was upstairs. Their daughter was paralyzed and confined to a wheelchair. Dad came home and had something that he wanted to give to his wife, her mother. And she said, "Dad, let me carry it up there to her." Well, Dad states the obvious. You can't carry that. You can't get your wheelchair up the stairs. She said, "Yes, I can. I'll carry the gift and you carry me. And we'll get it to my mother." Jesus is the great burden bearer. He invites us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's a man by the name of Bruce Larson. He wrote a book, Believe and Belong. And he tells about how sometimes he would try to help others give their lives to Christ. And he'd be speaking to them in his office in New York City. And sometimes he would say, "Would you go with me on a little walk?" And they'd go with him. And they would walk down Fifth Avenue in New York City. The first place where he would take them is to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue, at the entrance of which is this gigantic statue of Atlas. This man, very muscular man, who is holding the world upon his back. And to his guests, Bruce Larson would say, "Now that's one way to live, trying to carry the world on your back." He said, "But let me show you another." He would take them across the street to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And he'd take them inside and look behind the altar to a little shrine of the boy Jesus. And in this little statue, the boy Jesus is holding the world in his hand. He says, "And that's the other way. We have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, I can't do this on my own. Here's my life, Lord. Here are my burdens. Here are my troubles. I give them to you. I trust them to you. I want your yoke, not my own." Those are two ways to live, two radically different choices. You can choose to bear your burdens on your own and thus live a life filled with anxiety and distress, worried about whether or not you're going to make it. Or we can learn to give our burdens to Jesus and wear His yoke instead. The greatest invitation: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you haven't already, I want to encourage you to RSVP to that invitation through your trusting obedience. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus tonight, if you need to ask for the prayers of the church on your behalf, if you have a burden that you're bearing, that you need help bearing that load, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.